Have you recently graduated from high school or college and are still making up your mind about your future career? Here's an opportunity to serve your neighbor through an extended, uniquely Lutheran service program. It's called the Lutheran Youth Corps. Find out more about the Lutheran Youth Corps at lcms.org/youthcorps. Life together through witness and mercy, the Lutheran Youth Corps. lcms.org/youthcorps.
A very fundamentally different world, not of Western civilization, that sees God and sees people differently, fundamentally different than we do here. So yes, there is a very big clash going on right now in the Middle East against a civilization that for 1,300 years, given a respite of a couple hundred years, has been in conflict with our civilization. Those who ignore history are destined to repeat it.
That's Rick Santorum speaking recently at the Values Voters Summit about a clash between Western civilization and Islam. Now, he's not the only one who has observed this, but he is a prominent senator and he was a presidential aspirant. Well, that got the reaction of a columnist from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette who wrote a column very recently responding to Senator Santorum titled, "Christian Extremism Plagues the World Too." Joining us to respond to this column and to set the record straight here on Islam and Christianity, Dr. Alvin Schmidt is Professor Emeritus of Sociology at Illinois College. He is author of the book, The Great Divide, The Failure of Islam and the Triumph of the West. You'll find a link to it at our website, issuesetc.org. Dr. Schmidt, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Oh, thank you for having me again.
What is the author of this column in the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, Tony Norman? What has he failed to miss to understand about both Christianity and Islam?
Well, first of all, he doesn't understand that Islam directs in the Quran very specifically to fight the infidels, the unbelievers who are not Muslims. There is no such passage in the entire New Testament. Christians, kings and emperors, have at times sometimes violated Christian values when they conquered different territories and the like, and maybe even imposed Christianity on them, but they didn't have any support from the New Testament to do that, whereas in Islam, there is all the support necessary. In fact, it tells them to cut off the head, the fingertips of those who do not believe. And there are roughly 100 violent passages in the Quran in the present tense, not in the past tense. And so he doesn't understand that aspect of Islam, or perhaps he doesn't want to. And relative to Christianity, he cites, for example, that Christians have failed to turn the other cheek. Well, that's another gross misunderstanding of that particular passage. When Christ said, turn another cheek, he wasn't speaking about governments or about emperors or kings. He was talking about individual people interacting with one another on a personal level. He wasn't addressing governments. And that passage is so frequently used to malign Christianity and to show that, for example, when Christians as emperors and kings have done things that were amiss relative to the New Testament norm and ethic, that somehow they have violated this particular passage, turn the other cheek. Well, it was never intended to address the government. Now, he also, for example, fails to understand put it this way. He seems to dislike anything and everything that Christianity stands for. So he goes on to what's happening in Africa, for example, where he cites the American Baptists advising the Uganda government on how to keep homosexuality at bay. And then he indicates that they would like to have the punishment for homosexuality as spelled out in Deuteronomy and Leviticus instituted there today. Well, I don't recall that the American Baptist ever advised the Uganda government to do that. So again, he takes big, wide sweeps, misunderstanding Christianity, misunderstanding Islam, and saying things that people, for example, the American Baptists, I'm sure they didn't say they wanted to have the death penalty instituted for those who practice homosexuality. But that's what he says.
He kind of anecdotally mentions people that he knew during the 1980s, during the sweep of the moral majority here in the United States, who he claims wanted to have Old Testament law imposed upon all Americans.
Yes.
I don't know who he knew or who he was talking to. I don't recall anyone going that far.
You know, I made a note of that very same point. No, I don't recall that at all. I don't recall any Christian group in this country or anywhere in Western society wanting Old Testament laws established, and if so, which ones? This is totally news to me. I mean, I don't know where he got that idea from. I don't think he could support it, even with some stray reference that someone may have said back in the 1980s. I frankly doubt it.
Let's take a break, and when we come back, we'll talk a little bit about the consequences of drawing the moral equivalence between Christianity and Islam. It not only has theological consequences, it also has some pretty serious political consequences as well, if we simply assume that these are two religions of peace that both have a bloody past or episodes of warfare in their past. If we underestimate the role of violence in Islam, what are the political consequences? We'll get an answer to that question on the other side of the break. Dr. Alvin Schmidt is our guest, professor emeritus of sociology at Illinois College and author of the book, The Great Divide, The Failure of Islam and the Triumph of the West.
Come and experience firsthand by sitting down in classes and actually hearing professors, coming to chapel, which is always the high point of the day, to hear the Word of God and to lift our voices in song.
Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Paul Grimm on why you should consider visiting Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Spend time talking to professors. I mean, there's not a professor here who will not be willing to take time, whether it's after chapel during the coffee hour or just to come into one's study and sit down and talk for a while. To answer questions, to help them to get a sense of, A, do they want to be a pastor or a deaconess? And then, B, is this the right place? And, well, maybe C would be the question, is now the right time for them to make that decision?
If you've contemplated the vocation of pastor or deaconess, contact Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155, or send an email to admission@ctsfw.edu.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Grace Lutheran, Henderson, Nevada. Faith Lutheran, Orange City, Iowa. Bethany Lutheran, Fairview Heights, Illinois. Bethlehem Lutheran, North Zulch, Texas. Risen Christ Lutheran, Arvada, Colorado. Trinity Lutheran and Grace Lutheran, Wichita, Kansas. Emmanuel Lutheran, Perryville, Missouri. Risen Savior Lutheran, Basor, Kansas. St. John Lutheran, Champaign, Illinois. Trinity Lutheran, Auburn, Nebraska. Holy Trinity Lutheran, Columbia, South Carolina, Grace Lutheran, Elgin, Texas, Gethsemane Lutheran, Marion, Ohio, and St. John Lutheran, Springfield, Pennsylvania. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes a congregational sponsor, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Welcome back. We're talking with Dr. Alvin Schmidt about a recent Pittsburgh Post-Gazette column titled Christian Extremism Plagues the World Too. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Dr. Schmidt, I do want to talk about the political ramifications of underestimating the role of violence in Islam toward the end here. But first, let's compare and contrast a little bit more. What is the goal of Islam, according to its own scriptures, as contrasted with the goal of Christianity, according to its respective scripture?
Well, the goal of Islam is to have basically world domination in terms of religion, that no other religion should exist besides Islam. And in order to accomplish this, they resort to the sword, as specifically detailed in the Quran. And every time you and I hear on the television news or someplace else the term of radical Islam, it is actually regular, genuine Islam as spelled out in the Quran. Those who, as Muslims do not, for example, practice and support the jihad methods of conquering, are really not true Muslims. Those who are, for example, follow the Quran. That is something the media fails to tell us, namely that the radical Muslims, the jihadists as they call them, are taking chapter and verse from the Quran. Now, relative to Christianity, the goal of Christianity was not world domination, but to get people to accept and believe the redemptive work of Jesus Christ on the cross and the open tomb. In other words, to have them have eternal life and salvation without the sword. That's why the New Testament mentions nothing about conquering or gaining converts by means of the sword. And as I indicated a while earlier, some individual rulers have sometimes done that, but they have never had any New Testament support to doing so, and they have never tried even to find any support in the New Testament. Why? There is none. And so, basically, very different. World domination on the part of Islam by means of the sword. No other religions are to be remain in existence. Christianity wants to conquer, if you will, the person's soul, people's soul, not by the sword, but that they might have eternal life. And never does it say anywhere in the New Testament that other religions are therefore supposed to be persecuted and confronted with the sword.
I wonder, and this is a purely hypothetical question, but I think it kind of highlights something, or at least its answer could. Even if Christianity didn't exist, would Islam still be a religion rooted in violence? Even if they achieved all their goals and everyone in the world was a Muslim, would it still be a religion rooted in violence?
I would think so, because you're going to have within their own midst people who will deviate and leave. And the moment you do that, they have to be dealt with by the sword.
What are the...
For example, I know personally four ex-Muslims who have left, and they live incognito in this society, our society, because they're afraid they may be killed because they left Islam.
So what are the political consequences, not just here in the United States, but elsewhere, of failing to see that there is, in the very founding documents of Islam, a call to violence?
Well, exactly. That's where we are, in essence, committing societal suicide. Even, for example, with the beheadings now, for example, in Oklahoma. They tend to, because of political correctness, want to call that workplace violence rather than terrorism that was done by a full-fledged Muslim. And if we continue doing this, and we're apparently not just doing it in this country, we will eventually bow down to the conqueror, in this case Islam, and become subjects to them, and they will dominate. Sometimes I think when the Muslims hear how our media addresses the situation, they must laugh behind themselves. These dumb Westerners, Americans, or Canadians, wherever they are really not getting it. Or, for example, their philosophy of political correctness has taken over common sense on their part. And as a result of that, we are, and I've said it many times, on a national path of suicide if this continues. Will we wake up to see what's going on? I don't know. I sometimes doubt that we will.
Does this mean, Dr. Schmidt, that every person who is either a Muslim or who regards themselves as a Muslim is necessarily a violent person?
No, quite right. There are certain Muslims that, for example, probably don't like the violence, but at the same time, they are also probably Muslims who do not read the Quran and don't even know it very well. But if you take the Quran seriously, you have no other choice but to confront the unbelievers, who are people like you and me, or as they're called, the infidels, with the sword. It's very clearly spelled out. The tragedy is that the newspaper authors, like the one we're talking about, Tony Norman, in the Pittsburgh Gazette, apparently have never looked at the Quran on those passages. you know, as I often say, don't believe me. Don't believe someone else is criticizing Islam. Go look at the Quran. That is the primary authoritative source. But our people, our journalists, apparently are not willing to do so. And then sometimes I think they also have an instilled dislike, even a hatred for Christianity. This is why even in this article, the man doesn't confine himself to Christianity or Christians having conquered by the sword. He lashes out at other things, for example, that he doesn't like about Christianity. So he takes a much broader sweep, which indicates that he really hates Christianity and will do anything and everything to put a good spin on the Muslims at the expense of Christianity and also at the expense of actual factual history.
With only a few minutes here, Dr. Schmidt, about 2 minutes, how do we admit to and understand in its historical context the violence that has been inconsistently perpetrated by Christians in the name of Christendom? About 2 minutes.
Well, you know, it's very difficult to get a voice sometimes. The things that I am saying here today, for example, are very difficult to get on the air on other forms of media. Let me quickly give you an example. It's about 4 years ago. There was a program coming out of Chicago, and a friend of mine called me and said, you may want to listen to it, and I did hear it, and he was exaggerating the greatness of Islam. And for example, how Muslims in this country are now outnumbering the Presbyterians, the Lutherans, the Episcopalians, and so on. I picked up the phone, and I got through on the first call, and I tried to tell him that his facts, his statistics, were completely off-base, doesn't fit with what we have scientifically found. He cut me off. You can't get the word out to those people on these programs, for example, that are touting pro-Islamic or trying to cover for Islam at the expense of Christianity. And I've had other experiences where I've written to a newspaper in response to a column that, again, praised Islam or said things that weren't true. And I called them on the phone. They said, well, we're not going to publish it. So it's very difficult to get the news media out. The political correctness ideology has conquered the news media, and as a result, you and I would try to get the country voice stated can only do it in a limited fashion and only on certain media, like, for example, issues, etc.
Dr. Alvin Schmidt is Professor Emeritus of Sociology at Illinois College. He's author of the book, The Great Divide, The Failure of Islam and the Triumph of the West. You'll find a link to it at our website, issuesetc.org. Dr. Schmidt, thank you very much for being our guest.
Well, thank you again for having me.
Folks, October is a clergy appreciation month. October begins tomorrow, and that's why on the last day of September, it would be a great idea for you to get your pastor, the Issues, etc., book of the month for September, the Concordia Commentary on Galatians. You know, I used to be a parish pastor. I know that they don't make a lot of money, and I'm pretty sure that your pastor wants the Concordia Commentary on Galatians. He wants to have that resource for his study, for his preparation for teaching and preaching, but he probably can't afford it. Well, you can, and you can give your pastor the Concordia Commentary on Galatians very first day of October as that month of pastor appreciation begins. Just call Concordia Publishing House and order for your pastor the Concordia Commentary on Galatians by Dr. Andrew Das. You can call them toll-free, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Or if you want to think about it, you can browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. You'll find the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for September there, the Concordia Commentary on Galatians. Tomorrow on Issues, Etc., we're going to conclude our series on Christian preaching. Dr. Ed Gremenstein will be in the studio. We'll also talk with David Limbaugh about the case for the biblical Jesus. We simply cannot afford to be ignorant of the difference between Christianity and Islam. They are not two different versions of the same thing. They're qualitatively different worldviews, one centered in the peace, the Prince of Peace, the other in war. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues, Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Is the Lord's Day sanctified by man's work or man's rest? I've written an article for the latest Issues Etc. journal titled Lord's Day, Lord's House, Lord's Supper. You can read it by subscribing to the online Issues Etc. journal. Just look for the red subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. The Wittenberg Trail feature details former Baptist minister Dennis McFadden's journey to the objectivity of the Lutheran Confession of Faith. The free Issues Etc. journal.
Ah, the sounds of rich liturgy and historic Christian worship. What a way to spend a Sunday morning. At Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstadt, Illinois, you'll find authentic Christianity as you hear the preaching of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of your sins. Come, join us Sunday mornings at 9 and Monday evenings at 7:30, and find out more about Trinity Lutheran Church, Millstadt, Illinois, at trinitymillstadt.org.